Well, I don't know about you guys, but I know for me there have been times in my life that I've wanted to just quit. I mean, just give up, just throw in the towel, like, enough. You know, the battle gets tough, day-to-day going on, the struggles of life and the challenges, the trials, and you find yourself just sitting there and you're pondering it, and it, you know, sometimes you just be like, I'm tired of this. You look at it sometimes and you think, is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Just everything is so dark, everything is so gloomy. You see your brothers and your sisters, and sometimes we have these casual interactions with one another. How you doing? Everything's okay. How's things going with you? I'm good. Lord has got me. I'm pressing on. I'm pushing forward. But the reality is there's a struggle. There's trials. There's tribulations. But this morning, my hope is that the Lord will use this time to encourage us all to not quit, to not give up, to not throw in the towel. And that's going to be the title of my exhortation this morning. It's going to be, Don't Quit. First thing I want to do this morning is to share a few scriptures which have been an encouragement to me. And you can turn there if you like, and if not, I'm going to just read through them. You can just listen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And thinking about not giving up, not quitting, I just kind of have a brief description of that word, quit. It's to give up, to leave, to depart from, to stop, to cease, discontinue. When I looked at that, it brought to my mind a man who had refused to quit. If you would turn with me to Luke 18:35, and we'll read from there. Hey, bear with me, brothers, because now it's classes time. My eyes didn't do what they do. Okay. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. I think about that and just thinking, this man, he really wanted some help. And in the midst of him wanting help, you see the oppositions to it at that particular moment. You're like, "Huh, calm down. This is a blind beggar." To them, he's just causing commotion. But the blind beggar, he had a need. And that's where I found myself at. I had a need. Lord, I need some encouragement. Lord, I want to give up. Lord, I want to throw in the towel. And so I cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me." Why? Because I'm ready to call it quits. Does it make sense? Nah, it don't make sense. Why? You count the cost, you look at it. Christ quitting. But that doesn't take away the fact or the reality that there are days that you want to quit. I know me. There have been days in my walk where I've wanted to quit. If you have ever wanted or wanting to quit, like right now, might be somebody in here that want to quit or feel like they want to quit, on the verge of quitting. What are some areas that would play a part in trying to get you off the track of trusting God and following Christ? And what I'll do this morning is I'll just share three areas in my life that have been challenging areas for me. One of them being tired. Just get tired of the fight, the struggle. I don't know if any of y'all ever been in a fight. You ever been in a fight? I ain't talking about the fight where you just get the best of the guy. You know, those are simple fights. You get in there and you duke it out a little bit and beat the guy up and you leave with your chest packed. I'm not talking about that type of fight. I'm talking about a fight where you fighting somebody that can fight. It's a real fight. You slugging and they slugging and he get the best of you. And you find yourself just like, you know that, my man, can I get away? You just want to get out of that fight. I don't want to fight no more. Well, that's what I'm talking about. If you've ever been in that situation, same situation, you don't want to fight. But the tiredness that I've actually endured is the tiredness of waiting on the Lord in prayer. You know, you're crying out to the Lord to help you in this particular situation, and you just get weary. Why? Because you know how it is. We believers, I mean, those that are in Christ, those that have been born again. But the fact of the matter is, we still want things fast too. You know, we want to pray to the Lord, "Lord, fix this," and we want him to fix it right now. I know I do. I don't know about you, but I do. Be like, "Come on, Lord, what you waiting on?" It's like, and so it gets tough. When you're looking to see results and the Lord is making you wait. Well, the fact of the matter is, if we really trusting and believing in his word that all things are working together for our good, That's what we got to get to. Where that's active in our life and we're really believing that. And when the Lord is saying, wait, we just humbly submitting to the Lord's will and we're waiting on him. You pray to the Lord, Lord, save my kids. And you look around and there's other kids being saved. And you know, come on. Come on. You want your kids to be saved. You're like, come on, Lord, do something. Oh, Lord, come on. I'm in school. I failed my tests. Come on, Lord, help me. And you come hear the word and we're being encouraged to press on. And you're weary. You're like, man, I wish this was all over with. Lord, open up heaven and just let me in. This is, this is a tough one here. We just go one page back to Luke 18:1. And this is Jesus. He's telling a parable. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, when I was looking at that, for me, I applied that towards, okay, I need to persevere in prayer. I need to trust the Lord in this situation. I need to just wait. It's just the reality of it. The reality is God hears our cry. The reality is God knows what's best for us. He knows his plans. He knows his purposes. He knows the front. He knows the back and all in between. And so it's like, okay, Lord, got to get to the point to where, all right, let me apply that. Help me. Give me the grace to trust you in the midst of waiting. And he does. He'll give us a nugget there. When you're discouraged and you feel like it's getting hard and you know, we don't pray about one thing. You know, sometimes you think, okay, it's just one thing on and all. It's a whole bunch of petitions. Everybody in here got petitions. You be thinking sometimes, oh man, I'm asking the Lord for a whole lot. Golly, I'm like a kid. Can I get something to eat? Can I go to the park? Can I stay outside? Can I do it? You're like, wait a minute. Well, the Lord ain't like we are. We'll be like, hold on, sit down. No. He hears us. But you got to remember, he knows everything. It's just like a father. He knows everything that the kids don't understand. They don't understand why I don't run in the street. The car is coming. They don't, oh, car, it's gonna, you ain't going to hurt me. But the Lord understands, and he knows. So one thing that the Lord has encourage me in the midst of being tired is that to just persevere and just wait and just continue trusting in him that he knows what's best. A second area for me that I've had to, one of those areas where you just get to the point where you want to throw in the towel is my sin. Sin against the Lord. You sin against the Lord, and it's just like, you get in that situation where, all right, I've sinned against the Lord, and then it's like, oh, forget about it. You want to just say, forget about it. I've had enough. You're sitting down and you're thinking, man, I've been in this race for a long time. I know I have. You're like, man, I should be past this by now. This shouldn't be no issue. What is going on here? But the fact of the matter is, it is an issue. Maybe you're not fighting the way you want to fight. And remember, I'm talking about me. I'm sharing you, me, wherever you at in it. I hope the Lord would help you, but I'm saying me. It's like, man, it's grievous. Yes. You don't like it. I have a tendency, me, when I sin against the Lord, I have a tendency to want to just sit there and look at myself. You're trying to examine yourself in this thing, like, find yourself, why am I doing this? Why do I do this? And you're just looking at yourself in the mirror. And that's very discouraging. Sin and then sit there and look at yourself personally and just look at your situation and trying to make a change in it and see how encouraged you get. You're not going to get encouraged. Believe me, you're not. Not in light of the way I'm seeing it from the standpoint I'm talking about, as though I can change something. Though I can change something according to God's word, I'm saying it in the sense of I can't change nothing. That's discouraging. But I found that there's hope. Even in the midst of my sin against the Lord, even though we don't like to talk that way, because it seems improper to say that, hey, we in Christ, we've been walking with the Lord, and it doesn't seem proper, I guess, so to speak, to say I still sin against the Lord. But I found hope and peace in knowing this, that there is repentance. There is a way to get your eyes off yourself and set your eyes and your focus back on Christ. Brothers, sisters, you can't quit when you sin. You can't throw in the towel. You can, but I'm trying to encourage you not to do that. I'm even trying to encourage you not to do what I've done or what I might be prone to do. Get at the house, get your little cake out. I cook, so that's what I do. Eat and have a pity party. Woe is me. One day, 2 weeks, whole month wasted. Looking at yourself. Just like when a kid, a little one, is learning how to walk, he falls down. And I think any parent that loves his child is going to want to encourage his child to get up. You want him to get up off the ground. Come on. Yeah, you fell, but come on, get on back up. And at that particular moment, though he's fallen, and though you feel bad for him because you're watching him, he's trying to walk, you still want what's best for him. So you tell him, come on, get up. And I think that's what 1 John 1:9 is saying to us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our Father in His love for us. Even when any of us was born, making that way for us. Saying, if you sin, repent. I'm not saying that lightly, brothers. I'm not saying that lightly, sisters. One thing I'm thankful to God for is this is a biblical, Christ-centered church. But at the same time, you got to be real careful what you say sometimes or feel for it won't be taken wrong. I'm not saying it's a good thing to sin. I'm not saying shall we sin because grace abound. By no means am I saying that. I'm saying if you sin, when you sin, repent. Put your eyes back on Christ and keep going. Why? Just like that child, one day you're going to look up. The child not going to fall like that no more. You're going to look up. Remember that money I was talking about? That money in a child's life might be the difference between that child falling and that child now walking and everybody going, whoa, that this ain't walking now. Dude, they're walking. He up and going. No different as us in Christ. We fall. And on this side of eternity, we're going to keep on falling. It might be a little different. Sometimes you slip and you boom, straight out. Sometimes you hit the chair and you kind of hurry up and get back up. But we're going to fall on this side of eternity. But thanks be to the Lord that He's given us access through His shed blood and we can confess our sins, turn away from it, put our eyes back on Christ, and that's glorious. Why? Because look at it. What did you do to get saved anyway? Well, nothing you did. Ain't nothing mighty about me or you or him. It's Christ. And He's given us this access. And so for me, when I sin and I have my pity party, that's what the Lord gave me. That was my lift up. What are you doing? You gonna think you're going to figure this out on your own? You got to get back to the Word. The promises of God. What did I say? Then another one area in my life is making me want to give up, make me want to quit. Maybe these areas are in your life, maybe they're not. I'm just sharing me. Loneliness. Sometimes it can feel like when you're in a room full of people, even brethren, that you're alone. Sometimes the room can be full. Sometimes it can even be here. Brothers and sisters that love you, but you're lonely or you feel lonely. Me, remember, I'm telling you me. That's how I feel. That's how I've felt. But even that's not true for a child of God. Yes, the lonely feeling is there. Yes, you might feel like you're alone, but the reality is you're not. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. Joshua 1:5, just going to the second part of it. So I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. You know, brethren, we are hidden somewhere. We're going somewhere. Somewhere like we're on a trip. We have to finish the race. I know it seems hard some days. The writer of Hebrews, where it says Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. Man, I like that text. For the joy that was set before him. Christ, our Lord, was looking past the cross. He was looking past what he was going to have to endure. That's encouraging for me. Though it's hard, though it's tough, I can look at that and go, man, you're right, Lord. Why are we heading somewhere? The finish line. You know, I watch sports. I still watch sports a little bit, guys. I get kind of excited. Y'all know that. And sometimes I'm watching the Spurs game. I'm probably on more eggshells than they are. And they getting paid. I'm not. And it's fourth quarter. They down by 5. Under a minute left. And thinking to myself, come on, guys. You blew a 10-point lead. What's wrong with y'all? But them guys, they sitting there. And they listening to what Park is telling them. And sometimes Pop be saying some crazy stuff. But they would believe in what Pop say. And you watch them guys go back out there. And boy, they press through. And if you go take a water break, you go get you some popcorn, or you go complain in your room, when you come back, you be like, whoa, what happened? Spurs up by 5. Well, if you can understand that, an eternal weight of glory. To forever be with the Lord. Whew. And our Lord is not like Pop. Pop might say something in that huddle that don't make no sense. He might say something in that huddle to just stroke somebody's ego. He gonna do whatever he got to do to get the W if he can. But our Lord, it's all true. It's real. Right now. When he's telling us these things, we can grab hold to it and know with assurance that, wow, that's true, Lord. I can keep going. You look back and you're thinking, whoa, 3 years, I'm still in the race. Man, there's some guys sitting on the sideline thinking he ain't gonna make it. That dude ain't real. That's all right. That's all right. Christ Jesus is the Lord. He's on the throne. And he promised to get me there. I get excited, then I get saddened. I get excited, I get saddened when I think about Christ. And I think he didn't quit. Not only did he not quit, scriptures tell us he's now there interceding for us. Like, what is that? No disrespect, but I'd be like, Stu didn't give up on old wretch like me. And I still, what was I talking about here? I still get tired. I still sin. I still get lonely. And here he is interceding for me. Jesus Christ interceding for a rebel. Remember. We got some solid teaching here. When I say rebel, I mean a man who still sins, who's still on this side of eternity, and Christ Jesus, he who knew no sin, he who laid his life down for me, shed his blood, hung on the cross, died, was resurrected, still there interceding for me. He didn't quit. He hasn't quit. He's not going to quit. The great I am is still in the game, so to speak. He ain't checked out, guys. He's not going to. Why? Because everybody in Christ got to make it. Look like to me, it's still some people in here that's in Christ. So he ain't gonna quit. Neither should we. Philippians says, and I am sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I was thinking, well, maybe brethren, maybe some people could fit into what I just said, then maybe some can't. But I think I found an area that's pretty much we can all kind of fit in right now. And I would encourage you in this area. Brethren, don't quit. Believe in God to save souls. You know, like I was saying earlier, sometimes you can look at things and you don't see results. And you can have a tendency or urge to want to just give up. Oh, man, that guy's driving me crazy, man. He don't want nothing. He don't want the Lord. Oh, man, my mom in this Catholicism. Man, my sister, what is wrong with you? What is that you got on, girl? You know, there are times when witnessing we can become discouraged because we can't see any fruit, results. We want to just shake that person. You ever feel like that? You just want to, I do.
Just like, do you not understand what you?
But if we only remember these five words, don't forget this, guys, gals. Salvation is of the Lord. I get excited for that. Wow, that's comforting to me. It's of you, Lord. Thank you. It ain't of me. Ooh, man. It would be a mess if it was up to me. I'm so thankful that salvation is of the Lord. I don't have to make it happen. Yes, we are vessels. Yes, the Lord uses us. But the results, man, the results ain't up to us. The results is up to the Lord. He saves whom he will, when he will. Some of the people you want to be saved, by God's grace and by God's means, you'll get to witness it. Some of the people you might want to see saved on this side of eternity, you might not get to see that. But don't let that discourage you. Don't let your eyes be focused on, I got to see this person saved. Set your eyes on Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Lord, please work. Lord, save my neighbor, save my child, save my spouse, save my friend, save my coworker. And when the Lord opens up the door and gives you opportunities to witness, then be a witness. I think we're all prone to fall in that state. One scripture came to my mind when I was thinking about that and just interacting with different individuals. 1 Corinthians 13:7, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And when I think about endure, for me, it's like, don't quit. Trust the Lord. I was just reading a little. I ran over across the internet that I just want to share. Real brief. It was encouraging to me. It's from Spurgeon. It says, it is only for a little moment that we are to be here. The cup is very bitter, but then there is not much in it. Let us take it all down at a draught. These pills are too small for us to make two bites at them. Besides, to chew them is to get their bitterness. To swallow them is to know nothing about it. So do with the troubles of this life. Take them as they come, cheerfully and continually, thankfully praising God that there is good in the evil and sweetness in the bitter. Take it all. It will not last long. And I was just trying to think, Lord, in light of that, trying to encourage my brothers, trying to encourage my sisters, trying to be encouraged. And I was thinking, what about the loss? How do you deal with that when you're saying not quit? And I couldn't wrap my hands around it. I mean, how do I deal with the loss in this type of situation when you're telling somebody don't quit? Well, how do you tell the loss don't quit? Well, only thing that could come to my mind is, it's like, as I'm standing here right now, I ain't got no notes on this part of it. It's like you're here right now. The Lord is still being merciful towards you today. Maybe you might feel like life ain't worth nothing at all. I'm going to end it. I'm just going to end my life. I'm going to take a bunch of pills, or I'm going to shoot myself, or I'm going to just go do some heinous sin. I just encourage you that there's hope. You're still here. There's hope. And the only hope I know is Christ. You say, well, you telling all them people don't quit. I can't tell you don't. I can tell you I want you to quit your sin, but that ain't going to get you saved. Christ saves. So the only thing that I can say to a man that's outside of Christ is repent and trust Christ. I mean, he saved me, man. And I know we might all think this way, but I often think this. If the Lord saved me, he can save anybody, man. Cry out to him, man, to help you, to save you. Get in your word. But I say, if the Lord has been merciful to you and you're here today, and that's a blessing in and of itself. But you want to get on this narrow path. You don't want to be found on the wide path in that day. So trust Christ. Pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for giving me courage, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you that you're able to accomplish endurance in your people. I thank you that you have kept me thus far. I thank you for where you brought me from. Lord, I thank you for this body. Lord, I know they're praying for me. Lord, I thank you for their prayers. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters across this world, Lord, a big world. Lord, I pray if there are any that are discouraged today, Lord, that you would encourage them through your word, by your spirit, Lord. I pray if there are any that are tired, Lord, that you would be a comfort to them, Lord, in this hour. Father, we hear all the warnings in your scripture about falling away, about giving up, about not enduring to the end. And, oh God, I pray that you would accomplish your purposes in your people, Lord, that you would strengthen the weak and the feeble, that you would even encourage those that are strong, Lord. Lord, that we might get to that celestial place, Lord, that city. where you dwell, Lord. So, oh Father, help your people today. I thank you for all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.